All right. Let's pray while we're waiting for Tony to come back. Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time that we can be in your word. Lord, we just pray that you take these words, Lord, and penetrate into our hearts, Lord, that we can be more faithful, Father, in our witness, in our service, and just in our commitment to you. We just thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we talked about God's faithfulness and Christ's faithfulness and how it's unwavering. They're always going to be faithful. They've always been faithful. Now it's our turn. This one was a little difficult because it kind of showed me some things that you think you're being faithful and you think you're committed, and we fail. But I have someone that I can rely on that's always going to be faithful no matter what happens. And he's always willing to forgive in our lack of commitment. That's like the biggest word that I can think of right now is commitment. Our commitment to serving Christ gets so wrapped up in what others are doing, what we think needs to be done, instead of looking strictly at, am I being faithful to the Lord because of what he's done for me? So, everything that Christ did in his walk was for one purpose, and that was to die on the cross. He always went, that was his main goal. That was the reason why he was here. And even though there were things that, I guess, distracted him, or the ministry pulled him in different directions, invariably his focus was always on what he is going to accomplish. And if he wouldn't have done that, you know, we would be nowhere. So that example that he shows us, we're never going to attain that, but it should be something that we keep in the back of our mind. It should be a challenge to us to be determined that we're going to be obedient. We can set goals, little goals, even if it's, instead of saying, I'm going to read my Bible this year, say, I'm going to read my Bible this month. I'm going to make it through January reading my Bible every day. I'm going to make it through this week reading my Bible every day. Whatever it takes to achieve the goal, if they have to be little goals, little stepping stones at first, set them. But make a commitment. I am going to do such and such. And if you need someone to keep you accountable, we have our accountability partners, but there's always, you can call me and say, I made a commitment. I'm going to read my Bible every day for this week. Call me and ask me if I read my Bible. I'll send you a text, or I'll call you and say, what'd you read today? It's an extra little bonus, but I know that there are things in our life that distract us from service, life just in general. I mean, we don't even have to be specific. It's just life, period, gets in the way, and we put off things, well, I'll do that later, or, you know, I'll get to before I go to bed. Well, if you have a phone and you have a Bible app on your phone, in this one regard, I find this helpful because my phone is by my bed, And I have my Bible app on my phone. Before I get out of bed in the morning, I read my Bible. I read the verses, the chapters that I'm supposed to read. And I even went as far as I made in my notes, I have a Bible reading schedule that I'm following, and it's a chronological. So I'm reading the Bible in the order that it was written, instead of the order of the chapters that are in the Bible. So what I did is I copied it down in my notes for January. I just did January's. So at a glance on my phone, I know what I'm supposed to read that day. And before I even get out of bed, before I look at anything else on my phone, I'm reading my Bible. It's something that I decided that if I get up, I start doing other things instead of just making that my focus of reading my Bible and spending time with the Lord. And so I've had to do this for me because I know myself. I'm going to get up and something, and then it's like, oh, you didn't read your Bible today. And so, and then at the last minute, before I go to sleep, I'm trying to, you know, cram it all in. Well, that's not benefiting me, because then I'm going to sleep and I'm not thinking about what I read. So if I start out in the morning with it, then that it's making a difference. So far, I am on track. I've read every day, even this morning. So
another thing you can do is, like, when I ridiculously did, I made an announcement in church that I was going to read the Bible in a year chronologically, and people will remind you on Sunday. They will ask you, mm-hmm. How are you doing? And that kind of, you know, like you say, I don't want to call nobody because they're busy and da 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 da. But when you come into church,
somebody's going to ask you, especially, how is your Bible reading? Exactly.
And I've got to, I think your husband is reading the same thing I'm reading. So he'll ask me, where am I? What date am I?
Oh, okay.
It helps.
There we go. So do you always finish what you start? No. We don't. If we're honest, we don't. We try. We do good for a while, and then something gets in the way. And the question is why? Why not? Why, you know, why do we struggle with this? Is because life, we have lives to live, and things get in the way, and the devil doesn't want us to be accomplishing anything for the Lord. So I like this little thing. She said they had to do penmanship exercises when she was in sixth grade. And she remembers this one that she had to do, probably because they had to write it so many times. If a task is once begun, never leave it till it's done. Be the labor great or small, do it well or not at all. And we can,
because then we're like, I can't do it. So I'm just not.
Right, I'm not going to do it.
That one was like, I'm really good at this one. I have to say that wasn't
But
not at all gets me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, well then I'm not going to do it then. So there. Yeah.
Try.
Yeah. And but that already we're defeating ourselves. Mm-hmm. If we get into that mindset that, well, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to try, because we're robbing ourselves of joy and fulfillment, happiness, all of the things that we've been learning about. We can't be kind to someone else if we decide to quit. And we can't, you know, have peace or show peace to others if we're always quitting. We talk a lot, but we're not doing enough.
I think that we have to be careful when we say, when we put words like always,
yeah,
that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some tasks that I have started, and along the way, I started thinking about, why are you doing this?
Exactly.
And sometimes God says, you don't need to be doing mm-hmm. this, you need to be doing something else. So I didn't look at it as that we weren't always.
Right. We have to be careful with those words. We tend to fling them out at people and against people. You always are like this, or you never do this.
Right.
Well, is that really true?
Yeah,
and it's not fair. You know, you're always like that. Well, you know, it's like, it can all get turned right around mm-hmm. at you, and you know, but you're always like this. Well, okay, fine. So, looking at faithfulness, it's a matter of, in a sense, it's mind over matter. I'm going to purposely, that's a good word we can throw out there. I can purpose in my heart that today, not tomorrow, but today, I am going to be faithful to what is set before me. The Lord tells us, take no thought for the morrow. It's today we have to be concerned about. It's this time frame. Right now, what are you doing for the Lord? Right now, how are you serving Him? Right now is what matters. Not 4 hours from now, but in the moment. How can I be a better servant for the Lord right now, as opposed to, you know, in the next month, when, you know, that's not what He wants either. He wants us to be in the moment, being focused, looking how I can be faithful and be a better Christian right now, as opposed to down the road. So what's the opposite of faithfulness?
Unfaithfulness.
It took me a little while for this one. I was like, well, I'm like, is it just putting an un, you know, it's like unfaithful. But I'm like, what really is the opposite of being, of faithfulness?
Betrayer.
Well, that's a good word too, but.
Well, what would you say?
A betrayer.
If I'm not faithful to you, I can betray you.
You can. I thought about what is another word for faithfulness is being reliable. I'm like, okay, so dependable. You're, you know, so it's like you can do the opposite of those words. You're unreliable. You're not dependable. You're not focused. And I'm like, you know, so once it's like that kind of thought, I changed the way I thought about it. So we have faithful and dependable. We have unfaithful and undependable. Well, I didn't kind of fit in either one of these. Because sometimes I'm one, sometimes I'm the other. You know, so it's kind of...
words always and never.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I read them always.
I'm always there. Well, I finish what I start. I try. I can do that. You know, I try to keep my word to people, but sometimes life gets in the way and, you know, you forget you said that you were, and then all of a sudden you remember and, oh my goodness, I forgot how to do that. And, you know, but I'm not like the unfaithful either. You know, it's like I don't necessarily lose interest and drop out. And I would say some of the forgetfulness is starting to happen, but that's I think that's just the gray matter's leaking out. So it's like, yeah. So then, you know, this next question is, you know, when you think of somebody that's faithful, who do you think of? And it could be different for everybody. You know, it could be your parent. You could be, you know, a friend. It could be someone at church, someone you work with. It's going to be different for everybody. So that one's kind of on your own. You don't have to. But the Bible does have some special promises for the faithful person. So let's go to Proverbs 28:20. And let's see, that's Psalms, Proverbs. Twenty-eight, twenty. Andrea, can you read that for me?
A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent.
Oh, there we go. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Now, wouldn't you want that more than he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent? That doesn't sound so good. You know? Because in all the people that I've observed that their life is all about making money, they tend to run over people. They tend to push people aside. They tend to are very unfeeling. They are out for themselves. They're very selfish. Exactly. They may say something, be nice to your face, but in the end, they're about to run you over, you know. So it's not always a good thing.
I mean, we were running out playing the lottery this weekend.
Yeah, I know. But look, if I'm faithful, I'm going to have blessings. Who better to bless me than the Lord? You know, and He can make me have more than I have. You know, I don't have to run over people and be an ungrateful person and striving just for myself. I can be a faithful person and love the Lord and can be committed to Him, and I'm doing it for Him anyway. So why wouldn't I want the blessings from Him? So
blessings.
Blessings are a good thing. Now we go to Matthew. And I shall open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, the Lord says. You know, so it's like, and the windows of heaven is a big place. Have you thought about the heavens? It's a big place. So the windows have to be really, really big to open a window and pour that out a blessing. Yes, ma'am. Oh, the windows of blessing.
The windows of heaven are open. That's an awesome song. We should learn it.
I remember the first time I learned this song. We had it. We were in England, in our church in England. We had an evangelist. Oh, good. Here comes some more stuff. There was an evangelist that came, and he taught us. He taught us the windows of blessing, but he had this unique way of getting you involved in what was going on. And there's a part where. And he would make us hold it. And he'd hold his arms up and he'd smile kind of like, I'm not putting it down. You still have to go, oh, you know. But I still remember that aspect of this song and how he taught us this song and the joy that was on this man's face singing about the windows of heaven. And he's like, just imagine how big these windows are. And it's just like, well, there you go. You know, it's like, exactly. So Matthew 25:21. Miss Carlene, can you read that one?
Okay, I got to be sure I got the one. 21:25. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.
Wow, look at all the things. Look at all the stuff that's in there. Okay, so we not only get to be, and it says you've been faithful over a few things. I'm not requiring you to be faithful over a lot of things. or everything, exactly. But a few things that I have put into your hands, I want you to be faithful over. And I'm going to make you a ruler over many things when we get to heaven. So, and being in the joy of the Lord, entering into the joy of the Lord, having the Lord be joyful over what I've done should be blessing enough to know that the Lord is going to say, well done to me. Even if it's one thing I've done, he's going to say, well done, you did this well, I'm proud of you. That should be all the recognition that we should want. I mean, yes, it's nice to hear it from our peers and our friends. It's nice to hear you did a good job. Granted, you know, we all like that. But to know that the Lord of heaven is satisfied and is happy with the things that I've done, even if they're minuscule little things that I've done, or so I feel, he treats them differently. He looks at them differently. He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just kind of contemplate that. Just think about that for a little while. To whom do we need to be faithful and loyal? Who's the first one?
Christ.
Exactly. Who's next? Our spouse. Yeah, that would be good. Or our family.
I think we need to be faithful to ourselves. Because if we're faithful to ourselves, we then know what that looks like.
So yeah, but faithful in what way?
And doing what you say you're going to do.
But ultimately, that's for who?
Ultimately?
Yeah.
It's for me.
Well, but ultimately, you're serving and getting blessings, but ultimately, who's it for?
You already did, God.
I know, but in our being blessed and our being looked after, if we're not doing it for him, we're doing it for the wrong reasons. We're being selfish. We're still thinking about ourselves. He's the one that needs to be...
But we already said we were being faithful to Jesus Christ.
Right, but in thinking...
So next coming down...
Is to be...
Before we go out to be faithful to my friends.
But is our family.
Family. Even to before going out to be faithful to our family.
Right, but us... Us, uh-huh. this person, it shouldn't be about me. I'm not trying to be faithful to me. I'm trying to be faithful to him. And in turn, I'm the one being blessed. So yes, I'm being taken care of. And I'm looking out. But it ultimately shouldn't be about me.
I hear what you're saying.
Because if my focus is not on me, then I tend to do better for everybody else, and in that turn I'm more faithful. Because when I'm just looking at myself, myself wants to do nothing for nobody.
Which is why you have to be faithful to,
you know, it's like myself wants to be
myself how to do dishes real quick.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do the laundry. I want to sit here and read this book because it's really good. And
so I can see we can like be faithful to yourself, but be faithful to Jesus.
I can see where, yeah, I can see that.
It all takes care of itself. But the focus needs to be, right, because if I'm not focusing on what I'm going to get out of it or what I'm doing for me, then I'm still ultimately blessed if I'm looking away from myself, because like Tanya said, I can easily, I know I need to be faithful in keeping my house up, but I'm can easily say, I don't want to.
I don't want to clean my house. I ain't going to help nobody else either. See, so I don't know. It's always, and it's not that I'm focused on me. I'm just thinking
to help
others.
But
I hear what you, I know what you're saying.
Right.
I know what you're saying. So I'm not arguing. I'm not, that's not my argument.
Yeah, I know. And looking for a reason to, I guess the more interested I become in trying to do something for someone else, I tend to stop wallowing in what's not going on in my life. And I'm not sitting there thinking about it. You know, it's like, let me get out of myself, you know, out of, oh, woe is me, or, oh, I don't have this, or I don't have that. Well, stop thinking about it and do something for somebody else, and you'll realize they don't have a lot of things either. You know, and you're not so bad off. You know, it's like there's always somebody, you know, that can, you know.
Can top you with the
exactly. You know, somebody. There's always somebody that has something worse going on in their lives than you do. So, just, but in, we can't forget the gratefulness in being faithful as well. Our abilities to do these things from the beginning of this book all comes from the Lord. In ourselves, we don't have the ability to do any of this. But because Christ has put this in us with the Holy Spirit, we can quench the Holy Spirit and not use these gifts that He's given us. We can, because we, just like we learned at the beginning, we have them all. Some we tend to work on more or allow them to be used more than others. We need to find a balance in all of them. Because if we are only loving and we're not kind and gentle, but we just seem to be, oh, I love you. Well, do you really? When, you know, there's more to it. You know, I'm going to show love and kindness, but I don't have any peace in my heart about anything. Or I'm always in a turmoil. And you've not settled your heart in a peacefulness with the Lord. They all need to work in a unison together. It's a process. That's why they're in there for a reason, the order that they're in, like we've learned. But when we make a commitment to someone, even if it's not only a verbal commitment, but a vow in marriage, a commitment to I'm going to take this job. Now this is a commitment that I've made that I am going to be faithful. I'm going to be at work on time. I'm going to do the job that I've been tasked to do. Thank you, Roddy. All of that is a commitment. You know, it's like we have Tony is going to college.
Tony,
right behind you. Tony is going to college. And that's a commitment. There are some days she probably wakes up and goes,
every day.
It's like, I really don't want, when is this going to be over? But this too will pass. But then you can also think of it as this is a short-term commitment. being an adult and going into the workforce after you get out of school is going to be a lifelong commitment. When you get married, it's a lifelong commitment. So God is asking right now little stepping stones to test your commitment and your ability to do this. He's not throwing you into the big commitment. Right now, he's asking you to get through college because this is what he's allowed to be in your path right now. He's not asking for the whole. So everything that we do is a stepping stone. And the Lord's really good at letting us try it again. We don't quite make something, or we're not quite there yet. Well, the Lord says, okay, then let's try it again. Let's just do it maybe a little differently. Or let's just, you know, and we do that with our children. They're learning things. They don't quite get it this direction. They're not learning it as well this way. So let's try a different way of getting this across. And we're committed to helping them learn. Well, in a way, the Lord does the same thing with us when we're trying to memorize our scripture verses. There's many ways to learn how to memorize a scripture verse. You can write it down. Right, Kathy? You can write it down. That's what I told her. I said, write it down. Just write it and write it and write it as many times as you want to. But you're also, that word is going into your head as you write things down. Then you say them out loud. And you just keep saying it every day out loud. And you write it down. And then you see, okay, let me see how much of it I can write down without looking at it. And so little by little, you can learn a memory verse. Some people can read it three or four times, and they just go like this, and then they can say it. Well, that's like, but have they committed it to memory? Or have they just memorized it for the moment enough to say it? Can you say it again in a month? Okay, so there's a difference in saying it to be ready for. Do I know what it means? Have I put it into practice? Have I applied it to my life? Am I doing anything about it? That all comes with committing. You know, there are verses that we know, and somebody starts them and you can finish them. You know what the verse is. You may not know where it is in the Bible, but you hear that verse and you go, ah, I've heard that before. Well, your mind has captured that verse because you've heard it so many times. But just to pull it out of your head when if somebody says, what's Matthew 25, 21? Well, I don't know, but hum a few bars in a sense, you know. It's like, start me off. And it's like, well, oh yeah, it's like I know it's that verse, but I don't know that it's Matthew 25, 21. But there are verses I do know what their scripture address is. So it's all a process. It's a learning process. We know that they're like John 3:16. How many times have you heard John 3:16? You don't even have to say the verse in your head. If somebody says John 3:16, you know what that verse is. For God so loved the world. Okay, so you could quote, if you had no other verse to tell anybody as a witness, you got John 3:16 because you know that verse. You can preach a whole sermon on John 3:16. Come on. You know, you can do a lot of witnessing on John 3:16. Mm-hmm. You know, and someone can come to know the Lord from that one verse. So a lot of that comes from being faithful, not only to services, but to reading your Bible. The more you read your Bible, the more it's like, oh, wow, I've read that before. Oh, look at there. Or all of a sudden you're reading something and it's like, wow, where'd that come from? And how did that get in there? And I didn't. It's just what God reveals to you. Because there are times when, like this morning, I'm in back in Genesis again, and it was when Abraham, after Ishmael was born, before Isaac was born, the Lord told him that he was making a covenant with him, and everybody had to be circumcised. Okay? So, all of a sudden it hit me that Ishmael, and all the people after Ishmael, says they're going to have a conflict. They're always going to be in conflict, one with another. They are basically the Muslims. They are that race of people that are always going to be against the Jews. But what hit me this morning is Ishmael was circumcised in the covenant with the Lord before all of that started. So he alone has a covenant with the Lord. His generations after him don't know if he circumcised them. Don't know after he got to be a man and he started having children if he circumcised the boys at the, on the eighth day like the covenant started. But it was just kind of like, And I don't know how many times I've read that verse, but it would just kind of started me thinking, especially with everything that's going on right now. It's like, But when you read that verse about you should call his name Ishmael, and it's I guess it's 7.
But before he was born, though, it was said that that's what he was going to do.
Right.
He was going to be at odds with everybody.
Yeah, because it says, And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him a fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. The Lord was going to bless Ishmael, but his covenant is with Isaac. His covenant is with the Jewish people. So it was just kind of like, okay. How about that? So, yeah, because Ishmael was 13, and all the men, you know, so Abraham, you know, circumcised everybody. You know, he was old, a lot of the men were old, and then after that, every man child that was born on the eighth day, which the Lord said on the eighth day, and do you know why it's the eighth day?
No, why is it?
Because after 8 days, that's when your blood finally will coagulate. Yes, after 8 days. So that's why it's usually done afterward, not immediately, because your body doesn't. That's why the life is in the blood.
Okay, I have a question for everybody.
Okay, everybody, here's a question.
Because I tried to find it.
All right.
I was talking to one of my friends about drinking and stuff.
Right.
And you know, when you talk to people about drinking, the first thing they tell you is about how God turned water into wine, and he did the thing at the wedding and all of that.
Yeah, ask him to do a study on the word wine.
But the question is, did Jesus drink?
Nope.
Is there any place in the Bible that you ever read that Jesus drank anything but water?
I don't.
Until you
does anyone have any
in here?
I don't think
juice,
so.
But not wine.
But you have a hard time breathing?
No, but that was the conversation I had with
Does anybody have an inhaler?
No.